Hey everyone, Gio here. Welcome, GioCast 19. I feel this is a special one today. It has been quite an interesting last couple of weeks for me. And I want to share today about just like what are the best medicines? You know, what are medicines? Plant medicines, other medicines? Kamambe, Kombo, Yahe, Wachuma, something else I'm going to talk a bit about today. A bunch of these experiences I've had in the last few weeks. A lot of interesting things have been weaving in and out of my awareness, including beautiful synchronicities and experiences here in Costa Rica. A lot of insights that have come that I really am looking forward to sharing with you guys, and hopefully they resonate. So I guess where we left off last, you know, after Envision coming back, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, his name is Morgan. Amazing guy, business guy. He's got a clothing line, Grayson. He's also was a professional golfer, new dad, and just an overall awesome human being. He's building a healing sanctuary not far from where I live called Nakawa, 300 acres of waterfalls, and going to be building permaculture gardens and just all kinds of amazing stuff. You know, they got natural water there, springs that kind of flow from the ground and waterfalls. And, you know, I think that's the future of taking, you know, personal responsibility. And I was talking to someone at the Yahe ceremony about, well, she's into Tao and about duality. And, you know, we talk a lot about the natural harmony of nature and the balance, you know, masculine and feminine, and how, you know, there are times on Earth where things get way out of balance. And her teacher talks about how, you know, nature is always trying to rebalance itself out, but there are certain periods in humanity or in time that the Tao teaches about how if things get so out of balance, there'd be a great calamity. And the great calamity is almost like a reset or a destruction where things have to come back into balance. And we can look at this with fear, or we can look at this with, you know, hope or opportunity or trust, knowing that, you know, we can't control the whole thing, but we make a contribution to the energy that's involved within it. And how do we want to show up? And when I think about, you know, things that we can do as this system keeps on going on a runway course of pollution and greed and all the things we're experiencing now, you know, you can try to be a prepper, because this was one part of my life. You know, back in 2012, I thought the world was ending. It's like, oh, you know, you need food supplies and you need to be self-sufficient, but it was all out of fear. But you can still do all those things out of love, out of creation, out of wanting to do things to enjoy, you know, creating your own sustainability, your own communities, your own food, all these things. So we'll come back to that in a bit. But the land was beautiful. You know, we went for a hike through his land. It was not easy in the Costa Rican heat. It was challenging, and climbing waterfalls, actually fell down a rocky kind of waterfall and smashed my knee, but it was okay. But as I was there at one of the waterfall pools, I sat down and just went into a moment of just like meditation, and this overwhelming gratitude came over me. And, you know, not sure where our family's going to end up. We're just really open right now. Is it Costa Rica? Is it going back to Canada? Is it something else? And as this overwhelming gratitude came over me, a few things, I had a realization. I had a memory of a dream I had recently. In the dream, I was kind of like, I wasn't in a jail, but it felt like I was captive somewhere, but I had access to, you know, a beautiful valley, but I couldn't get out of the valley. It was very colorful and I could see all these things. But as I was in, you know, whatever room was there or building, I was alone. I still had a connection to all my things that I needed, but I was missing people that I loved and how important that was. And it was a great reminder of, you know, what is true freedom? You know, what would you rather give up? You know, your ability to be out in nature and do the things you want to do, whatever you want, or to experience that with the people that you love and the people that are close to you. And as I realized in this dream that I was away from my family, that I wouldn't get all that back, and all those experiences I would miss as my kids are growing, etc., it really dawned on me that I need to work a little bit less and enjoy more and find that balance. And it keeps coming up, that question. It's like, why do I feel this need to always put more on my plate? Which is something I'm personally working on. it was such a beautiful realization in that moment. You know, it just really felt like Costa Rica is where I'm supposed to be. And just to trust that if it's meant to be here, that that will unfold, you know, where I'm going to live and where I'm going to raise my kids and continue to build the life for myself. Without trying to figure out all of the things in my mind, like, oh, you can't do it because of this or blah, blah, blah. It's really trying to stay in my heart. And so just super grateful to Morgan, all he's building and the opportunities. And that opened up a week of, wasn't planned, but a lot of medicine ceremonies this last week for me. You know, Kambo ended up Yahe, Wachuma on the Saturday, and then a beautiful talk by Don Florencio and his wife. I might mess up her name. Mama, one second here. Let's see if I can find her name. Hold with me here for a second. It was Mama Jerzagua, something like that. Anyways, I'll get into each one of those because some really great teachings in each one. So the Kambo is a frog medicine. You know, it's like a frog poison that secretes from the glands of these frogs deep in the Amazon. And, you know, the story that was told by my brother Tom, who's an amazing, amazing healer and provider. And, you know, I met him through Rhythmia and he does amazing work there. And he told me the story of like how they found the Kambo. You know, there was a tribe in the Amazon that everyone was getting sick. And they say a lot of these elders, you know, they pray to the medicine. They use different medicines to open up their awareness and give them the insights. And it showed the elder how to go and find these frogs and to use this as a healing tool, the Kambo. And so what they do is they take these little frogs, they find them on the trees, they go looking for them, they can hear a very distinct sound that they make. And then they either tie up their legs and arms, like, or they stretch them out in a way where they scrape just enough of the frog poison, the venom, that the frog sells enough to maintain itself in the wild and that they can use it for themselves. And they'll burn little holes on your skin, and then they apply this poison on top of the skin. And it goes into the lymphatic system, and there's all these amazing properties the Kambo actually has. And I still think that science doesn't even know or learning about these medicines. And it creates a reaction. It's different for most people, but you drink a lot of water before, like 2 liters of water, and then you put the Kambo on, and the reaction starts. And so for me, it was like this warm, fiery sensation coming up my body, and I said, okay, I can manage this. And it kept getting more and more intense. And they tell you to try to stay present with it, not to try to avoid it or move away, because it's not psychedelic at all. It's just very intense. And insights can come in this moment as well. And so after a while, I'm sweating, and start feeling sick. Eventually, I go to the bathroom, come out, and just drop to my knees and start purging. And as I'm purging, the purge goes from like a clear, you know, bubbly kind of purge into this like bright yellow bile that is releasing. They say the Kambo has many, the science is just finding out, many antibiotic, anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, pain-killing properties. There's peptides against antimicrobial activity against yeast and fungi, and so many things they don't even know. There's a whole list here, how it affects different receptors, relaxes smooth muscles, blood pressure reduction, you name it. It goes on and on and on. The brain and all different aspects of your body. Say it helps with like seizures and Alzheimer's and you name it. And they say that powerful painkiller can be 4,000 times stronger than morphine. It was interesting because after I had the fall, I hurt my knee and my foot. It was all bruised and whatever. You know, within a day or two, you know, the inflammation felt like it was severely or significantly reduced and felt better. And it's just amazing how nature can interact with humans and all these things. They can work together with us in this harmony if we know how to use it. And the talk I went to yesterday with Don Florio talks about this balance and using things correctly with intention and these mixing of masculine and feminine energies. And so that kind of set the tone for my week. I was wiped out You know, I was like, you know, every time, well, it's the second time I did combo. I remember the first time I said, I'm never going to do this again. And it feels like almost on every medicine journey, there's a point where I'm like, I'm never doing this again. And I think it's similar to life where we find ourselves in these hard situations where we feel like, oh, I got to make sure to never do this again, or this is really uncomfortable, or I don't like it. But if we can learn the lesson, if we can see what is trying to be revealed to us, or be patient and quiet with awareness, you know, something beautiful usually happens on the other side. And so I found myself with a lot of clarity and a reset, and I stopped drinking coffee since then. It just felt like there's a little bit too much stimulation in my life. And it also made me think of when I was at Nakawa a few days earlier, there was this ant highway. And the ant highway is amazing because when the ants are going, it's like you see like thousands, maybe millions of ants just like doing their thing, working, following each other, working in unison, like this hive mind that works together. And these specific ants were cutter ants. And Morgan was telling me that, you know, the cutter ants actually don't eat the leaves. They'll go to a tree and start cutting pieces. And you see on this highway all these ants carrying these little pieces, sometimes flowers. And what they do is they bring it back to their hill or their ant mountain in Costa Rica, these big mounds of sand or dirt that you see the ants going in. And what they do is they take these leaves and they kind of like chew them up, and they start creating this fungus. And the fungus will grow inside the hive or the hill, and it'll start producing like these little flowers, and that's what the ants eat, and they use it for food and probably medicine, who knows what else. And they have this amazing communication network. And as the trees in the forest start to realize that they're getting eaten by these millions of ants, I think millions, hundreds of thousands easily, it starts releasing a toxin, and the toxin will then get carried back to the fungus, and the fungus will then either die or atrophy and send a signal to the ants who are eating it that it's time to find another tree. And so this amazing balance where the tree is communicating with the ants so that the tree doesn't die, so the ants just get enough of that tree, by the time it starts sending a signal, that sends a signal back to the colony to now switch and go find another tree, and just maintains this balance throughout the forest and the jungle. So as I'm going into my week, a good friend of mine, Mitra, is asking me to come volunteer at Rhythmia for the Ahe Nights, just for support. You know, they have an amazing crew there with lots of helpers, and I've never really been asked before to help. I go there for my weeks to be a guest speaker. I thought, okay, this is a great opportunity. I'd love to do it. And so the Thursday comes along, and we go there, and I'm just asking some of the other medicine team, like, you know, what should I do? How's the best way I can help? And just really want to make sure I'm doing a great job. And most of them are saying, like, look, it's your first time. You're just here to shadow, just to see what it's like to be on this side rather than receiving, to be of service. And, you know, don't worry about doing anything. You know, we'll let you know if we need help. But here's a few little things you can do. And I thought, okay, good. And so I take some of the helpers also drink as well, not as much as everyone else, like a little bit, just to be in the medicine. There's also some that don't drink, and the paramedic staff obviously are not drinking. And so as I drink, I sit back and I realize how tired I am, how I work so much between, you know, my day-to-day stuff with personal development school and Elemental Rhythm and all the coaching programs and the calls at night and having kids and, you know, you name it, all these things are coming up. I'm just feeling really tired, and I kind of fall asleep on my chair, and a good friend of mine, one of the medicine team members there, Oscar, is like, hey man, there's a couch over there, if you want to go lie down, you should go lie down. And, you know, the thought in my mind is like, why do I keep doing this to myself? You know, like, I know I need rest, and I know I need to slow down, and I keep, you know, bringing myself into this. You know, we were having some challenges, normal work challenges and stress, you know, around things that we're trying to figure out, and these are coming up, and I end up falling asleep, and I go into a dream where I'm in an ayahuasca ceremony, and Mitra, the main server, facilitator, ayahuascaero, comes to me in this dream. It's like blowing smoke in my face, and it's kind of weird, and I wake up in an ayahuasca ceremony from a dream of drinking ayahuasca, and he comes to find me, and I don't know how he does this, because he's serving like the whole group of people doing healings, and, you know, found the time to come and just make sure I was okay and ask if I wanted to drink a little bit more. And I said sure, and as I drink, I go deeper into this realization of, you know, how grateful I am for all the things I have in my life, and about trying to find this balance, and again, working a little bit less, 20% less, maybe, whatever. The mind's always trying to put numbers and logic. I mean, having more time to like enjoy and spend time with my kids, and I feel I spend a lot of time with my kids, but it's like more, like, it's important to you. This you can't get back, should be more, and work should be less. Although I'm passionate about what I'm doing, it was very clear to find more of that balance. And so as the morning comes up, I'm not expecting to get a healing as a volunteer, and I just go sit beside the music heroes who are playing, and the morning sun is coming up, and I'm looking out, and it's piercing through the trees right into my eyes, and you know, really feeling the power of the ahe. I just start blinking my eyes into the sun, almost like sun gazing in a way, and thinking, oh, if I blink my eyes enough, something crazy is gonna happen. Like I'm sending some kind of like, I don't know if you ever sat in front of those like Lucia lights that create these psychedelic experiences. So as soon as I start blinking my eyes, my brother Tom comes and starts giving me a healing. I didn't ask for it, I didn't expect it, and he just came and felt that. And as he's, you know, giving me the healing, I just start crying. I just start crying this like deep sobbing cry of gratitude for how much I love Tom, for how much I love the people in my community, for how much I love my family and the people at my work, and really just showing me how like there's always going to be this duality around you, but to always stay in the gratitude. Because everything around you is kind of like the yin and the yang, which is pushing and pulling on you and creating these challenges. And really, when you stay in the center with gratitude, you're able to navigate it and to see it and not get drawn in by it. And not to get caught in the swell or the wave or to get washed over. Just to really be present. And to really see like how much I give to my community, but how much I also receive in all of these interactions. And it was just such a beautiful moment. And at that exact same moment he started, you know, the band starts playing my favorite song. It's like na 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 na, and I do the healing, and I'm just like, what is going on? Like, what did I do to be so blessed in this life? You know, moments ago feeling all of this kind of like stress and feeling tired, but also this inspiration. And I get up from that and I walk over, and they escort me to sit at the end of the healing circle, and Mitra comes and gives me a beautiful healing. And I missed the feathers, and he brought out his, obviously, the macaw feather, which is my favorite. And because I was at the end of the circle, the person who was with the feathers I missed, but Mitra came and just gave me this like such a healing where I thought I was there to come and support, but he had, I think, other plans in mind for me. Because I guess he felt that I was going through like a lot of just stress and work, and he felt something in my energy, and I love him so much, and he's always kind of like looking like, this is a guy who's just like a giver. He gives and he gives and he gives, and he's such a beautiful, beautiful person. I'm so grateful to have him in my life. And so, you know, that happens, and the next day I have a day off, and then Saturday is Wachuma. I'm really tired on Friday, haven't slept all Thursday. Get ready Friday, and then we realize that we still got to figure out where's the dog going. We plan to bring our kids to the Wachuma ceremony at our friend's house. They were gonna stay inside with you know, some supervision, but that morning was just so challenging. You know, one of the things I'm working on with like someone I'm doing some business with, you know, things are very challenging. There's a lot of obstacles to overcome, and I was really feeling that in the morning. And then my wife had all this resistance where she didn't want to go because last time she got a headache, and we had to spend the night there because they didn't allow anyone to leave, and you know, all this resistance. So like we're late, we're supposed to be there like at 8, we didn't leave the house till like 8 o'clock, and we had to buy like snacks and food, and the kids didn't want to go, and I'm dealing with, you know, this other issue simultaneously. And it's like, wow, like to go from this peak bliss gratitude experience 24 hours earlier to this crazy like turmoil in this morning, and trying to like remember the teaching, okay, just stay in gratitude, be patient, let things unfold. And you know, when I got to the circle, it was late, so I didn't have a spot, which I brought these like, you know, nice cushions. I wanted to get a good spot and just be comfortable, so I ended up having to sit up where most of the people were lying down, and I was like in like the middle of the whole room, and I was just like, man, like am I doing too much? Am I even supposed to be here? And I saw my wife wasn't thrilled at that moment to be there. And I'm so glad that she did come. And I shared, you know, that kind of that duality that I was experiencing talking about this week, and reminding myself that to stay in gratitude, that the perfect solutions would come. And I just can't see them yet, and they're around the corner. Just to trust that, you know, it's out of my frame of reference. But, you know, if I just keep on sticking with that grounded centeredness, being open to the solutions coming, that was my intention, that they would all come perfectly. And as we drink the medicine, you know, this beautiful symphony of cicadas, I don't know if you can hear in the background now because they're so loud this time of year, just starts roaring. And, you know, as the medicine's settling in, as you may know from your own experiences, like, there's this uneasiness. And we have this beautiful family, Wachan, Martika, and Shiwarkente, that come from Peru to serve. And they serve such beautiful music led with flutes and drums. And slowly we just start flowing into the experience. And eventually I see my wife coming around, and she realizes that there's a lot of sharing in these ceremonies. Like every couple hours there's a sharing circle. As we get to the first sharing circle, I have this realization, because people are sharing about their family and things that were kind of instilled in them, and, you know, just healing for their parents and this and that. And, you know, finally my wife shares about how she broke the resistance and was able to see that, and I was so glad that she came, and I was so glad she had that turn. And it was very impactful for her, because her thing was, you know, trying to be comfortable in discomfort, because she gets really frustrated when she feels uncomfortable sometimes. And, you know, the beginning of the ceremony really pushed her and tested her, and she was able to break through that. And when it came to me, I was like the last one to share in that circle. Again, I feel like I'm always at the end of the line here for some reason. I had this realization that, you know, growing up, my parents, our parents, are most of the time teaching us what they know. They're instilling, you know, religious beliefs and society beliefs and all of these things. And we pick them up because that's our reality. But what I realized, you know, out of all the things they tried to teach me or intended to teach me, the one thing that the greatest gift that they gave me was the ability to believe in myself. I just saw how important it is to feel that feeling of support, that someone believes in you, someone in your life kind of sees the potential in you. And as I had so much gratitude for them, you know, and tears rolling down my face, it dawned on me that that wasn't even the greatest gift they gave me. What was even greater was giving me the ability to see, to believe in other people, to see the best in them, to see what potential they had. And I started seeing how in my life that I do that a lot. And with the people that are in our breathwork facility or training, and the companies that, you know, I founded, and people in my community, my family members and friends, and just how much I really believe in them and want them to succeed and do well, which I'd always seen. But somewhere, you know, in the business world, you get this competitive lens where people are your competitors and you want to do better than them, blah, blah, blah. But I saw how through all of that, I still had this kind of gift that they'd given me. And through the end of the ceremony, I realized that, you know, with, you know, this issue that was going on around these challenges I had, you know, I was being very defensive, and I was on guard and starting to look at, you know, specific people, and maybe more and more closing myself off to that, because I didn't want to be hurt. Because sometimes when you believe in people too much, they may take advantage of you intentionally or not intentionally, you know what I mean? But the realization that came was, it's much better to live life seeing the best in people. Also setting your boundaries so that you don't get taken advantage of, but not to start closing off and being defensive and looking at everyone as a threat and looking at everyone as someone you need to protect yourself from. And I decided, you know, I wasn't going to change for anybody or anything, and still really, really strive with that intention to always see the best in people. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful lesson. And how important it is to have someone believe in you, and for you to believe in others. This reciprocity that can give and receive, and there's no limits on that. It's exponential. And so by the end of the ceremony, you know, in the evening, their kids came down, we played music. And at first my daughter did not want to be there. You know, she's, you know, preteen, and we're ruining her Saturday night because she wanted to be out with friends. And it was interesting, the mirror she provided for my wife, who is now seeing that and seeing this new mirror showing her what it feels like to have someone so resistant without giving things a chance. And we spoke to my daughter about, look, you have a choice. You can choose to resist and be miserable in your own mind, or let go of that and just be present and just have fun while you're here and just show up in this moment. And she did. And we had such a beautiful night, slept there. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful experience. So then finally, you know, the realization, reflecting on that, like, what is the best medicine? You know, we use this Mambe a lot. And when Don Florio came to do his talk, he talked a lot about that, about the Creator has a purpose for us when we're born, you know, because we're part of creation. And when we cut that umbilical cord and take our first breath, we're always connected. And we have all these practices that help us to connect, whether it's plant medicine or meditation or breath work or whatever. You know, there's all these different pathways to connect. But it's kind of, I guess the way you said it was, it's not true, or we're not never really disconnected. The connection is always there. But when we grow up in society, everyone has a plan for us. You know, what we see, what we hear, how we want to be like other people, what our parents want us to do, to be a doctor, to be a teacher. But everyone has this kind of plan within them. And as we grow, we start feeling this dissonance if we're not aligned with the plan that is set out for us, or that is true to our soul and our heart. And how do we get back to that? You know, we start feeling disconnected, we get sick, we get angry, we get depressed, and it's our soul, our emotional body, crying out to us to change. And we have all these experiences in life where we get challenged. But I think the point is that what all these medicines do is that they remove these barriers to bring us back to that natural creation, to bring us back to what is true. And what the plant medicines do, they are perfect creation. A lot of them have this perfect balance of masculine and feminine, like ayahuasca is like a vine, and a leaf, which is a masculine and feminine. You know, the Mambe has an anbio, tobacco, and this also this leaf that when mixed together creates this balance. The rapé has the tobacco and different herbs and ashes that are mixed into it. And, you know, we got to find that balance within us. And I think that these plants are teachers. And what's important is that we take these lessons so that we don't need them all the time. How do we integrate them into our life so that they remind us, but they're not going to do the work for us? You know, Don Florio gave an example of, you know, people going to drink yahe or ayahuasca, and it tells us exactly what to do. And you don't do it, and you come back, you drink again, and it tells you the same thing to do. And you go back into your life, and you don't do it again. So it can show you the way. The teacher just points you in the direction. A good teacher doesn't tell you what to do. It shows you the way, points your awareness, and then it's up to you to make those decisions and choices to create that change. And most of the time, change is very hard, because the way our mind works, our subconscious mind, is just trying to survive. So when it's in an uncomfortable situation for a long time, but surviving, it feels safe there, in a weird kind of way, because it knows that surviving, it thinks, okay, I'm surviving, this is good enough. If I'm not doing this, I don't know what I'm gonna be doing, that could be more dangerous. But the challenge here is to have the courage and the intuition to push past some of these patterns or blockages of our mind or subconscious mind, and to move into the unknown. And ultimately, to sum it all up, you know, the realization of the week was that the greatest medicine is human life. This life, this human experience, is medicine for our soul, and we come here to learn. And if we came in and just lived our purpose from day one, it would probably be great. But to find our purpose through this disconnection and all these things that happen to us, and then to be kind of reborn or reconnected, is the greatest medicine. Because through that process, we learn about all of these emotions, the good, the bad, up and down, because it's this contrast to juxtapose our lives against all of these different elements, and to see the beauty of what our true purpose is. And sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it's like a mystery. I feel like you're on like a wild goose chase. But when we start getting into our heart and clearing away all of the noise of all of things that were programmed into us, again, by society, our parents, our family, things we've heard and seen, we start feeling this connection again that gets stronger and stronger. And this human life is the perfect medicine for our soul. It's designed like that, I believe. in such a brilliant way. And so I encourage you to listen more to your heart, to find the ways that make you feel more connected, whatever that is for you, and to just trust and to keep, you know, walking that line, to be present today and moving into this future that we can all create together, individually as human beings, but also as society as a whole. Well, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed that. I also wanted to just say thank you to Daniel and Davina. They have a beautiful space in Samara where they hold breath work, and they held space for us. Again, to Mitra and Rhythmi and the whole staff. I met someone at the Wachuma ceremony. Jay, if you're listening, he came up to me and said, you know, I've been listening to your podcast and I love it. You know, thank you for sharing. And, you know, I feel like I'm right with you there all the time. And it was just so impactful to me to realize that some people actually listen to this. So if you're listening, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out, say hi, let me know if anything resonates, or if you'd like me to speak about anything specific or have a question. Thank you to Tom. Thank you to all of my community, just Blake and holding that space, inviting, you know, Don Floro and his family and all the amazing people that I interact with. I'm just so, so grateful and appreciative and inspired to keep creating and continue down this path. That's it for me today. Love you so much, and see you on the next one. Peace.